Hey, good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you here. We got this little in-house congregation going. It's awesome to have you guys. I really want to welcome you, our extended digital family, and those of you who just need to be extra wise and safe in this season, welcome to our digital gathering. It's great to be with you. I'm really looking forward to going through our time this morning as we just focus on thinking kingdom and specifically loving others. As I start, just wanted to let you know, if you haven't seen this already, we are partaking of communion as part of our message today. And so we want to free you up and invite you to join us in that. So when I've done this at home, I've grabbed like a Breton cracker or a soda cracker or just a little cup of juice and made it work. So whatever you need or whatever you have, just grab that real quickly and join us for communion as part of our service this morning. I want to start by talking about Mondays. Mondays are one of those things, aren't they? As we go through life, you hear people talk and complain about Mondays. It's that first day of work. It's like that, okay, here we go. Got to make it through the week. Mondays for me are a little different. Mondays are like my Sunday, but they come on the heels of really kind of like the climax of my week. And so there are often Mondays where I'm off, but I just feel like, mountaintop experience. And after every mountaintop, you kind of come down into the valley. And so I find myself on Mondays sometimes just feeling down or bleh, or what have you. And so I've started this habit where on Mondays I take time to think on the week before and name my wins. And so what I mean by that is like I want to celebrate the things from the week before that were wins in regards to the kingdom and in regards to the mission of Jesus. It means to kind of just like feed my soul and celebrate, if you will. And so then on Tuesday, when I come in, which is Tuesday is actually my Monday, hopefully that makes sense, we meet as a staff, and I include it in our staff agenda, wins, and I usually will share my win, and I ask if they all have a win, and they look at me like I'm weird, but they're getting used to me and what have you. But I want to share my win this week, because it perfectly fits with where we're heading, or where we're heading and what we're hitting on this morning. My win for this week actually came from a visit that I had with one of you. You came to me and were sharing with me how you have a new neighbor, a literal new neighbor, and that your new neighbor is also an immigrant to our country, that their second language is actually English, so they're still kind of learning that. That in fact, they actually have a completely different faith than we do as a Christian church. And so you'd shared with me how many times in a week you'll go for walks with your new neighbor, how you'll discuss life and transitioning to Canada and even faith and trying to understand how that plays into community and how you live out life day to day. I love visits like that. I celebrate visits like that, because that is exactly what I'm talking about when I'm talking about thinking kingdom, when I'm talking about being on mission for Jesus. Because the kingdom is not limited to these four walls and the space that we have come to know as church. No, kingdom and church takes place outside of these walls. That is a kingdom-minded moment. That is a moment where that individual is on mission for Jesus. And that is what it is all about when I say think kingdom. And here's the thing, like this is just me talking directly with Ford Alliance right now. If every single one of us just had one person like that in our life, and we wouldn't just be well on the way, we would be standing at the door of hell ready to kick it in, wouldn't we? Because that's when we are truly serving the fort. That's when we're truly reaching our region, and that's what it's all about. That was my win this week as I met with our staff, and I reflected on Monday and took time to celebrate the things that I know are good and are of God in our midst. And that's exactly what we're talking about today. We're in this Think Kingdom series, and we've called it that because we really do want to be, we must be, we have to be, as Jesus' church, a kingdom-minded people. And at the very core of being kingdom-minded or thinking kingdom is embracing the mission of Jesus. Now, some people love, like I've said before, mission statements. Some people like me. But I really believe that if mission statements are important to organizations across the board, they got to be that much more important for us as the church. And so for us, we say it like this. We want to love God and love others. And really, thinking kingdom starts and really stops on those four simple words. If we are people that love God and love others, we hold the key right there to being a people who think kingdom. We hold exactly what it takes and means to be a people who live on mission for Jesus. And so we've talked the last 2 weeks about loving God, and today we want to transition into loving others. And I'm looking forward to doing so. In fact, one of the things I love about Scripture is that it is God's word to us, but I have come to find, as I'm sure many of you has, that as that when I go through Scripture led by Holy Spirit, I'm finding myself, I see things new and fresh all the time. And that happened to me this week. And it was one of those things where I was like, well, how in the world did I miss that? Like, that is so obvious. And I'm sure you'll think that, even you here, you'll be like, Pastor, did you just notice that? Like, but it was new to me, like it was fresh to me, and I love that about Scripture, how Holy Spirit takes these divine-inspired words of God and then like makes them new in a fresh way for us. And that's what happened to me, and so I'm going to share that with you. So to do so, I am going to take us to Matthew chapter 22, and I'm going to read that passage for you as we consider what it means to love others. So Matthew chapter 22, I'm going to read, because it kind of fits some of the context of what I want to talk about, 34 to 40. It goes like this. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in the religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. As I was reading, the first thing I want to share is I came across this commentator who said it like this. In this section of Scripture, it's as though Jesus is saying this. Here are the two tablets of the law. All else is just commentary. I love that. If you're familiar with the Old Testament giving of the law, Moses literally had two tablets, right? Here are the two tablets of the law. All else is just commentary, and it boils down to that, right? Love God, love others. Simple. At least so I thought. First thing that jumped out at me, this was new. Many of you who are here this morning have read Scripture. I know this about you. When Jesus is asked a question, what's the most common thing that he does when he's asked the question? Answers with the question, right? That's the thing that, like, Jesus is known for that. And if it's not a question, it's a story. So here we go. Chapter 21 of Matthew is kind of this section now of Scripture where we enter into what's traditionally called the Passion Week. It's the triumph, starts with the triumphant entry of Jesus, where he's heading into this final week where he's about to go to the cross, which we're going to do later as we take of communion. And a lot of scholars will call these accounts here the confrontational stories. And you'll see what I mean as we go. So it starts with this triumphant entry of Jesus. And then you have this really, really like different perspective of Jesus as he clears the temple. Now, he does so for some very obvious reasons in that people are literally robbing people to worship God, which is not God's heart at all. And then he goes into this odd encounter with a fig tree where he curses a tree, which is out there, and then talks about our praying. But then this is where the confrontation starts. The authority of Jesus is challenged by the religious leaders of the day. And they say, tell us by what authority you do this. And Jesus does exactly that, right? He answers with a question. And then he doesn't just leave it at the question. He tells a story, follows it up with another story. And then in 22, we get into another story upon that. At that point, they shift to another question as if to challenge him in regards to the resurrection. And Jesus makes this like really, really bold statement about God being the God of the living, and it's a really beautifully and eloquently done how he does it. But we see that pattern all over the Gospels, right, where Jesus answers questions with questions and tells a story. I don't know why I had never noticed this before. But Jesus gets challenged here, and he gives a direct answer. I don't know why I never noticed that before, but that stood out to me as I prepped. I don't know about you here or you at home, but that said something to me. If Jesus is going to give a direct answer, this means something. Like, it matters. And that really, like, impacted and hit me right in the core of my soul. Because it hit me, right? Like, Jesus doesn't want us to miss this. There's no story. There's no question. He wants his people to get this. All the law and the prophets are summarized by these two things. Love God and love others. Oh, so simple, and yet oh, so pointed and directed. Another interesting thing about this passage, the line we're on today where Jesus says the second is equally important, love your neighbors as yourself, actually comes from the book of Leviticus. And I'm going to just flip over there real quick. And this is Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 that I'm reading for you right now. So Leviticus 19, 18. And Jesus quotes this verse as he's responding to this question about what is the most important commandment to love God and to love others. It says this: do not seek revenge or bear a grudge. I'll say it again. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge. He continues, against your fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is interesting to me. I thought about potentially giving the shortest sermon I've ever given. Tell you a bit of a background of a story of it and how I processed it and what have you. One of my best friends in Edmonton was actually born and raised in Central California. He was raised by a single mom, and he is a person of color, which doesn't matter to anything in regards to my relationship with him. I see him as a human being whom I deeply love and trust. In fact, I'll go so far as to say that very few people in this world do I look up to as much as I look up to him and the choices he's made as a man of God. But I share that because it affects the context of what I want to share right now. We were just getting together this week. We were having lunch, processing life, sharing our hurts and our pains and our struggles, just like Christian brothers should do, right? And as we do so, we get into the topic of, he goes, so what are you preaching on this Sunday? Like, what where are you going to go with this? And so I said, well, I'm preaching on loving others, and I'm thinking about giving the shortest sermon ever. He's like, oh, tell me about it. I said, well, I'm thinking of coming out in a Make America Great hat while wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt, and for the first time ever, wearing a face mask as I preach. And then opening up to this passage in reading the words of Jesus and saying something like this. If your ability to love others is dependent on if you agree with them, then you have yet to figure out what it means to love like Jesus. And then walk off the stage. I didn't do that. I chickened out. But he starts howling. He's like, oh, I'd pay to see that sermon. I'm like, there's boxes in the back. You can go to online, fortsaskalines.com. Click the give tab. It's really easy for you. But he paused after our joking around and being silly with one another, just like brothers would, right? And he just said, you know, like, that's really what it's all about at its core, though. And he went on to tell me about just like his struggle of not having a man in his life, and that there's nothing more that he wants than to be a man of God who leads his family like Jesus. And then he shared with me how the marker of that for him is his capacity to serve his family and serve other people, and that his family might see that in him. And that is, at its very core, what it means to love others, to live like, to lead like, to serve like Jesus. To put aside whatever it is that we may or may not think or agree about, and to just simply love and to serve. And here's the thing. This is exactly what Jesus did for me. It's exactly what Jesus did for you. See, it was my sin, your sin, that separated us from God. It was God's absolutely unfathomable love, his dare I say that song, reckless love, where he would leave the glories of heaven and come into the mess of the world for me and for you. To serve me and to serve you. All out of love. I would do so by going to the cross where he'd bear my sin, your sin, the sin of all of us here, that we could know God. We could return to relationship with him and walk with him again. This happens in this beautiful moment where we recognize that and we accept that and we say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, my life is yours. And then that journey continues as we learn what it means to more and more love and journey with and be like Jesus. And the cross reminds us of God's actions to love. And it ought to be a reminder to us too, to love like Jesus, to put others before ourselves. And so this morning, I want us to specifically come to the communion table as a means to reflect on what Jesus did, to demonstrate his servant heart, his outpouring of love by giving his life for us. And so we have a little piece of bread or a little cracker and a cup of juice. Bread, which is symbolic of Jesus' body that has been given for us. A cup that is symbolic of his blood that has been shed that we might be forgiven. All so that we could know and walk with God. And this morning we partake of these elements in remembrance of him. We partake of these elements not only as a remembrance of him, but as a means to spur us on to love others like Jesus loved. And so I'm going to take this bread and I'm going to pray. And after I do so, I'm going to invite you to eat and partake with me as well. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving your life for me. in my sin and in my action, it was as though I was there and I spit upon you. But when we were not in agreement at all, you chose to suffer and die and give your body for me. For us. And so we thank you. And we partake of this bread today, remembering what you gave out of love as an act of service for me. Amen. Join me as well in praying over the cup. Oh, Papa in heaven, that moment when you had to turn as you saw Jesus, your son, crucified, shedding blood for us. The sacrifice that must have been. We humbly stand, sit, watch in this moment and just say thank you for your grace and your willingness to give your son. Jesus, thank you for dying and for shedding your blood for the forgiveness of my sin and for the forgiveness of each person who has come to you and said, I'm sorry, forgive me. Spirit, we just ask and invite you to lead and to move in our hearts and to remind us of what you gave for us. And so we partake of this cup in remembrance of you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Amen. Love God and love others. Here are the two tablets of the law. Everything else is just commentary. That's what my hope and our prayer in the midst of a world that desperately needs Jesus is that our lives, that they would really look and become and abide in him, and that they would reflect every word that he has said. God bless.